Just about mid-morning, above a trash-strewn sidewalk, Huey stood by a recessed door of a transient motel in the Mott Haven neighborhood of the Bronx. The Dunbuyer Motel advertised rooms hourly, weekly, and monthly. The building itself looked as though simple maintenance had only happened every other decade at best. Huey looked to his right to see a disheveled, dirty Bronx Denzian walking in a jittery fashion down the sidewalk.
Lunch.
For fuck's sake, Huey. What the bloody hell are you doing here?
Huey looked back to see Butcher, black overcoat, black Doc Martens and all, standing just outside an open door of a cab that had pulled up in front of the motel.
Oh, I found it in the guidebook. Said it was cheap.
Oh, yeah, I bet it did. You're in the fucking South Bronx. Did it say anything about that? Well, come on, get in.
Huey stepped down from the entryway of the hotel and walked across the sidewalk to the cab.
I don't know. I quite like it. There's all these amazing characters staying there.
Plus one as of today. Okay, mate, off we go.
Huey got in the cab and immediately spotted Terror, who licked his lips upon seeing Huey. He then climbed around and sat behind the driver. Butcher got in and closed the door. Huey glanced back to see the man who had been focusing on his midday meal begin shouting something at other destitute-looking people on the block.
I did read one wee thing about it still being a troubled neighborhood.
I hope you like the local color then, son. But the first flood of blood-flecked semen under the door and don't come crying to me. Hey, cut over to the West Side Highway, would you, mate? Ta.
Butcher rubbed Terror's back and glanced over at Huey.
So, how was the flight?
Oh, it was okay.
Huey gave a furtive glance at Terror and then back up at Butcher.
He won't, you know.
What? Fuck you. Not unless I tell him to. But the flight, any problems?
No, it was all right. Immigration's a right pain in the arse, though. I was standing there for bloody ages.
Butcher reached into the inside breast pocket of his overcoat.
Oh, yeah, that's my fault. Sorry, mate.
Butcher handed Huey a U.S. passport.
There you go. You've been a U.S. citizen for the past week.
Jinx!
Huey opened the passport to find that apart from his citizenship status, all the info as well as the photo were the same as his maroon Kingdom of Scotland passport. His brows knitted at the portend of what might be expected of him.
Mr. Butcher, I don't even know if I'm going to be...
Billy, Huey, or just Butcher. Mr. Butcher makes me sound like me dad. And no worries. We actually do most of our flying with the Air Force. Bloody handy. Although you do tend to meet a lot of chained up Pakistani lads with bags over their heads.
That's horrible.
Oh yeah, suppose it is. But that's the way it goes, innit? You don't play with matches if you don't want to start any fires.
Back on Vought Aerial Base 1, Annie stood up quickly and backed away, tipping over the high-backed conference chair to the floor. She took a few steps back, partway to the door of the conference room.
Homelander?
The Homelander gestured with both hands toward his midsection.
Suck it.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Beyond the fact that I want a blowjob and... incredibly seem to be encountering communication difficulties. You get on your knees and put it in your mouth and you suck the goddamn thing.
You can't mean it.
Annie started to turn herself toward the conference room door.
Hey, what's up?
Annie turned to see A-Train and a bigger, slightly taller, muscular man enter. The other man was dressed all in black, a mask completely covering his face so that not an inch of skin was showing.
A-Train and Black Noir, oh, thank the Lord.
Annie swung her face back to Homelander.
I don't know what's happened. I think someone's controlling the Homelander. Or maybe it's some kind of duplicate or an android, like when Insaniac infiltrated the...
Annie turned back to the two approaching supes, who were now undoing their pants and pulling out their members. Stunned, Annie stepped back from them, which put her back against the conference room wall with Homelander to her left and the other two closing in from the right.
Oh, God. You're going to force yourselves on me.
What? Christ, no, nobody's forcing anyone to do anything. No, it's all a question of how badly you want to join the Seven.
Annie's face went from fear to outright shock.
You mean I have to have sex with you to join the team?
Well, Bill Clinton might argue the definition with you, but yes.
Annie glared and swung her eyes from A-Train and the faceless void of Black Noir to Homelander.
But you're the Seven, for crying out loud. I mean, this is disgusting. It's a betrayal of everything you stand for. You're Earth's most mighty. You bring justice to all. You avenge the innocent. You're the Seven.
Homelander offered a simple nod.
Yes, and we'd like our dicks sucked.
A-Train, who was already stroking his member, smiled and nodded with glee.
Can't stop the A-Train.
Annie stared at the floor for a second and gave a quick shake of her head and raised her eyes to the men before her.
Go to hell.
The Homelander crooked an eyebrow.
Well, in that case, good luck back in the Corn Belt.
What?
With what's his name and whatever they're called.
The defiance in Annie's eyes started to fail.
But I...
Butcher and Huey stepped out of the elevator to find a mostly vacant floor with exposed ducts, pipes, and plenty of debris. It was unclear if the floor was in the midst of a renovation or a demolition. Three figures stood near a cement column: a very large, muscular black man wearing sunglasses, a Caucasian man almost as tall as Butcher wearing aviator goggles on his recently shaven head, and a small Asian woman standing just behind the man sporting the goggles. All three had on black overcoats similar to Butcher. Butcher raised a hand and gestured to each in turn.
The big lad is Mother's Milk. The gent with the specs is Frenchie. And that is the female.
Butcher turned slightly and canted his head at Huey.
This here is Wee Huey.
Mother's Milk stepped forward, his hand extended.
Hello, Huey.
Hello there. Is it M.M.?
Right the first time.
The big man retreated as Frenchie stepped forward, taking Huey's hand in both of his.
Ah, petit Huey. C'est l'old alliance once more, no?
Sorry?
It's the ancient friendship of the French and the Scots. When both our peoples fought the Anglais to be free of me together. Free of tyranny. Independent of our foreign governments for 3,000 years. This year, we rekindle that friendship, we?
Aye. That sounds brilliant, pal. Really great.
Huey got his hand back from Frenchie and then took a step, reaching out to the smallest figure before him.
Oh, hello.
Frenchie immediately seized Huey's wrist and held it fast.
Don't be doing that, Huey.
Yeah, not a good idea, mate. Believe me.
Huey stared at the female, and his eyes widened to see not only fear, but a level of ferociousness that terrified him. Frenchie let go of Huey's wrist and gave a simple nod.
Right then, you've all met the new lad. Time we got down to business.
Huey half raised his hand.
I've not actually seen...
First things first, boys. This is not going to be like last time round. We're now operating under presidential directive. That means Dakota Bob. And if anyone's going to stick to his guns, it's that old bastard. So that leaves us a lot less to worry about. No old bollocks about the budget. No rules of engagement. Looking over our shoulders as we put some cunt in hospital. And no bloody subcommittees, all right?
Mother's Milk nodded and swept his gaze about the empty floor and then looked to Butcher.
Well, first things first. This place is disgusting. We gotta get the asshole supposed to be fixing us up an office to come and finish the goddamn job. Seriously, how the hell are we supposed to work out of here?
Oh, come on. This place is a New York classic. The wankers downtown would turn green if they knew we were here. Look out the window. Can't you see old Jimmy Dean having a dander down Fifth Avenue?
Outside, it's a classic. Inside, it's a motherfucking nightmare.
Butcher nodded while the female was making a small, undiscernible gesture to Frenchie.
All right, I'll get on to Monkey.
Pardon, Monsieur Charcutier. The female would like to order a pizza.
Butcher turned toward the female.
Didn't you have any lunch? Bloody hell, love. I'm always telling you, you've got to sort yourself out.
Huey half raised his hand again.
Actually, if we're having a wee break, I just need to use the toilet.
Oh, you can't. I mean, there is one, but it's not plumbed in yet.
See, this is exactly the kind of shit I'm talking about. I'm gonna call Monkey.
Mother's Milk produced a phone from inside his overcoat.
Bonjour. C'est Ray's Pizza?
Oh, if we're having pizza, can we get a few wee mushrooms on it?
Hello? Yeah. Tell Mr. Kessler it's MM.
Butcher hooked a crooked smile and looked to Mother's Milk.
Happy then?
Yeah, look, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do it right. Hey, Frenchie, no anchovies, man. You know how I feel about that shit.
Weh.
Butcher turned toward a nearby window and pinched the bridge of his nose.
Oh, pain the fucking ass.
Huey walked over and stood next to Butcher.
Hey?
What? Oh, Mother's Milk. No, that's not true. If it wasn't for him, the whole thing would fall to pieces. I mean, I'm in charge, but he's the one who makes it work.
What about the other two? What do they do?
Muscle.
Eh?
You'd have to see it to believe it.
Right, listen. I wanted to say to you, you keep going on as if
I was hoping you'd have got swept up in all the excitement and intrigue and just gone ahead and said yes. But it turns out the office needs a lick of paint and that.
Mother's Milk closed his phone and walked over to Butcher and Huey. Butcher's eyes never left the window.
Be done by tomorrow night.
Nice one.
Say, Huey, I just want to say sorry about your girlfriend, man.
Oh, thank you.
I know we just met and we ain't had a chance to talk, but we will.
Somewhere above the cloud line, high above the eastern seaboard, somewhere between Manhattan and Washington, Annie January, the Starlight, and newest edition of the Seven, was on her knees in a stall of the Vought Aerial Base One's women's restroom. Annie slowly stepped out of the stall, slightly hunched, and turned toward the sinks. Her yellow gloves were off and in her belt, her sleeves pushed up. Her mascara had run from both eyes. She lifted her gaze up as she wiped something off the chest of her costume. She stopped, her gaze fixed. Before her at the sinks was the statuesque Queen Maeve, her blue Amazonian battle dress accentuated by a silvery chest plate, shoulder caps, shin-plated boots, wrist and bicep bracelets, a tiara in the shape of an eagle, as well as a broadsword hung on her right hip, and a cape the same magnificent blue cascaded down behind her, where her honey blonde hair stopped at the middle of her back. The only woman in the Seven until this point was applying numerous drops in her eyes, and then dabbing the excess away with a paper towel. She then began touching up her lipstick.
You're Queen Maeve?
Mm-hmm.
Empress of the other world.
Queen Maeve closed her eyes slightly and then continued with her lipstick, never fully acknowledging Annie. Annie took a step forward.
Oh, my lady, I never thought I'd ever get to meet you. Ever since I was a little girl, I followed your adventures. I tried to do everything just like you.
Annie took another step to stand over Queen Maeve's shoulder and to be able to be seen in the reflection.
I wore my hair like you. I had a costume just like yours. Oh, I'm sorry I'm gushing, but I just think you're the greatest woman who ever lived. You're an inspiration to all of us everywhere.
Queen Maeve started to gather her makeup and eye drops into a small satchel attached to her left hip in the same design as her outfit.
That's wonderful, lovely, just super, so marvelous, utterly peachy keen.
Maeve's eyes slid to Annie's reflection.
Now fuck off.
Queen Maeve turned and walked out, leaving Annie staring after her. Annie then blinked, felt a fresh wave of nausea, and turned to go back into the stall. With their office now set up, Butcher strode to a large corkboard with 8 headshots of various masked and odd-looking characters.
All right, boys. These are the teenage kicks. They've had a few changes since we were last a team, so let's go down the list.
Butcher pointed to a photo of a masked, smiling face at the top left.
This here in the brown and yellow is Big Game, the leader. He has super strength, and that's about it. Next, then, dark-skinned bloke in a green hood and goggles is Shout-Out. His powers are electrical in nature, and he can fly. The brooding-looking bird dressed in black is Popclaw. She has strength and has retractable razor-sharp claws that come out of her wrists. The next heir is Whackjob, who can conjure electricity and dresses in late 70s punk nonsense. This next one in a dark helmet with his visor over his eyes is Gunpowder. Got no real power, save for loving the use of a specialised gun. As you can guess, he brings plenty of NRA money into the group. This smiling bollocks in a blue mask is Jetstreak, and you guessed it, he's super fast. Now this Lon Chaney-looking fucker is Dognot. Basically, he's a werewolf. Sharp claws, and the only known powers is he can leap. And this last ginger-headed ball bag in the orange and green is Blarney Cock. He's a bit strong, but other than that, he's just a racist cunt, which I'm sure makes for plenty of tart team talk with Shout-Out.
Butcher turned to the rest in the room and thumbed back at the board.
We're going to fire a warning shot. Nothing too heavy, nothing too public. Just enough that the suits know we're back in business. Now, some of you know all this, but it never hurts to hear it again. Teenage Kicks and the Young Americans are the adolescent super teams operating today. Any others just don't seem to last the course. Now, where the Young Americans are old-fashioned, nice as pie types, with ties to evangelical outfits and Republican youth groups and all that, Teenage Kicks, on the other hand, are a bit more Gen X. Edgy, wrong-sided tracks, blah, blah, blah. Generally, there's a lot of skin on show, tattoos, piercings, what have you. They show up at premieres with models or heiresses on their arms, that sort of shit. Couple of them have moved up the food chain over time.
Butcher pointed to Huey.
Your mate, A-Train Huey, he started out with the Kicks.
What?
Now, they're well known, but they're not some beloved institution.
So ain't nobody gonna start screaming if we break a couple of them.
Exactly.
Butcher looked back to the board of headshots and nodded.
People love them some suits, but half the time I can't even tell the difference. Cunts all look the same to me, but it's what's behind all that shit that counts. What happens when they take their masks off, and that is our department.
Butcher spun around to face the boys.
Right. You all got your mission, so get stuck in and do your own work. Huey, you're with me.
Butcher turned back to the board as the rest of the team stepped up behind him.
Look at them, boys. Teenage Kicks. Fuck me, Ridget, are they in for a shock?
The unassuming brick building that looked like a four-story walk-up apartment building was a brothel that catered to superhero types. Although at present, it was not about entertaining individual customers so much as a group of them all at once.
Change!
In a moment, a number of the male members of the Teenage Kicks bolted into the hallway, of which a series of bedrooms were on.
Move, dude!
All still wore their masks, save for Dognot. A few wore their boots, but nothing else. Naked bodies with erect members ran from one room to another. Shout-Out stopped in a doorway to see Gunpowder tied face down to a bed while one naked woman whipped his naked backside with a cat of nine tails and another poured Super Glide lubricant over the end of his gun.
Hurt me, you fucking cunt. Just be my fucking punisher.
Shout-Out turned and jogged to another room, passing by an open door where Popclaw sat watching two women engaged in sexual congress with a transparent double-ended phallus.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in her ass.
Shout-Out continued to the next door, finding a naked blonde woman on all fours, her backside facing the door.
Teenage Kicks are coming at ya!
Across the street in another nondescript building sat Huey looking through heat signature binoculars mounted on a stand. Next to him was a table with a computer recording not only the heat signatures, as well as a couple of high-intensity cameras focused on unobscured windows, but sound devices as well that recorded audio from various sources within the brothel.
Jings! This is Babylonian!
Huey turned his head from the carnal carnage being recorded to Butcher, who sat up on a bed against the wall, his feet up and Tara on the floor at the foot of the bed.
They're celebrating. They put the fearsome foursome back in Rikers last week.
Huey sat stunned.
Are they all like this?
The suits? Some are, some aren't. Most of them have some kink or other.
Butcher canted his head at the building out the window.
That there is the only knocking shop on the East Coast that opens its doors to these assholes.
The only one?
Huey turned his eyes back to the building and picked up a set of normal binoculars and began scanning all the windows that appeared unobscured.
Never enough tarts, mate. High turnover. I mean, the money's good, but getting a length off of a suit's no joke. Hard to keep up with a bloke who can outrun a leopard.
Huey stared down with the binoculars on a first-story window.
I see what you mean. There's three lasses in the kitchen doing a fuck ton of blow.
Right, keeps them going. Numbs them too.
Butcher rose from the bed, put on his black overcoat as Huey lowered the binoculars and looked up at Butcher.
Isn't the owner taking a bit of a risk, letting us bog the place and all?
Not as big as a risk as saying no to me, mate.
Butcher started across to the door and stopped.
Huey, tomorrow at the office at 6, we'll need all the stills and clearest clips you can get, all right? Tara, let's go.
Huey raised the binoculars again as he focused on the kitchen windows.
Hey, right. I'll stay on this till they leave and then pack up and head back to the office.
Huey's brow knitted behind the binoculars and tried to focus on a window on the first floor.
Here, that's not coke.
Huey lowered the binoculars.
That's blue.
Aboard Vought Aerial Base 1, the full measure of the seven sat about the V-shaped conference table as a man in a suit sat along the wall near the viewport. Homelander stood, smiled, and gave a couple of knocks with a gloved fist on the table.
I hereby bring this meeting of the seven to order.
Homelander looked to his left, where sat in a row Annie, A-Train, and Black Noir, and then to his right, where Queen Maeve was followed by Jack from Jupiter, a hairless being with skin that had the tan and ochre coloring that resembled the cloud patterns of Jupiter. He wore only a red cape, boots, forearm bracers, and briefs. A reddish circle resided on the skin in the center of his chest, about the size of a grapefruit. Lastly was the Deep, an African-American in a green costume that gave a slight shimmer resembling fish scales and a cape edged in a coppery metallic fabric that mimicked the ancient deep-sea diving helmet he wore. The center portal was missing, allowing him to be clearly heard, but only partially seen. Homelander took note of the suited man off to the side, and then straightened up as he addressed the others.
First item on the agenda is to welcome our new member, Starlight, who will be serving in place of the Lamplighter during his absence. You've each met her individually over the last couple of days, but this is her first appearance at an official meeting. Starlight, would you like to say a few words?
Starlight rose tentatively.
It's all right. Don't be intimidated. You're among friends here.
Queen Maeve produced a cigarette and a lighter from the pouch on her left hip and flicked the lighter.
Well, I wanted to say how proud I am to be here, I guess.
Annie looked down to see A-Train subtly miming fellatio. She froze.
Thank you, Starlight. I know we'll all do our utmost to help you settle in.
Annie sat back down, her eyes focused on the tabletop.
I believe the Deep had a question he wanted to raise.
A question of merchandising. I would like to know why the Homelander, Black Noir, and Queen Maeve are on a full 1% each, compared to the rest of us on 0.75.
Well, because we're the big three. We always have been. Look at the sales of our individually trademarked material next to yours if you don't understand the distinction.
I didn't see the big three mentioned anywhere in the contract. As a matter of fact, I've never even heard it used except in the most informal context.
Jack from Jupiter thumbed to Queen Maeve's bosom.
Yeah. Looks to me like Maeve's got the big two going on all on her lonesome here.
Maeve took a drag and turned her face toward Jack.
Individual popularity is beside the point. It was a group decision to sign. It follows that any remuneration should be divided equally among the group.
Look, we all had an opportunity to examine the contract in depth. If anybody's lawyer found any cause for concern, that would have been the time to draw attention to it.
I wasn't informed that involving a lawyer would be necessary.
Nor I, but I managed to figure it out for myself.
Listen, so long as we're
Annie's eyes held tears, but she somehow kept them from falling. The talk of the meeting floated away as she glanced about the table at the supposed heroes, all of whom in no way resembling the honorable characters they showed to the world. It was about an hour later, after the meeting of the seven, as Annie made her way toward her room, when she heard what sounded like two men arguing around a corner.
You dumb fuck.
Annie slowed and quietly made her way to look around the corner to see Homelander from behind, looking down on a doubled-over A-train.
What was that shit in there supposed to be? That stupid fucking slurping. What was that?
Jesus, I was kidding, for Christ's sake.
You were kidding? That's brilliant. That was an official meeting of the Seven. That means playtime's over, do you understand? Do you?
A-Train instinctively raised his hand in front of his face to protect himself.
Yes!
Homelander's stare went dead, and then glowed red, a light wisp of smoke trailing up from each eye.
A-Train, did you just raise your hand to me?
No! No! Homelander, I swear to God, I didn't! Please!
The glow slowly went away as a smile that never reached his eyes widened across Homelander's face.
Try and get this into your shit-filled head, you little prick. That man in there with us was from Vought American. That means he's the money.
Homelander bent down and grabbed A-Train, pulling him close.
And we don't fuck around in front of the money. Got me?
Yes.
Homelander let go and straightened up as A-Train slumped to the floor.
Glad to hear it. You're in the Seven now. The big leagues. So start acting like it, or you can fuck off back to the kicks.
A-Train sat head bowed as Homelander stepped around him and walked on down the hallway.
Stay down until I've left.
Terror sat on the floor by the silent television of room 432 of the Gem Hotel in Manhattan, where Butcher and CIA Director Rayner soundly negotiated different approaches to conjugation in a position most associated with canines.
Ow!
Butcher swung and struck Rayner's backside.
You piece of shit! How fucking dare you! I run the CIA!
Oh, you love it, you slag!
Oh, you fucking bastard!
Oh, that was better out than in.
Butcher turned to the side of the bed, pulled off the spent condom, and tossed it to the wastebasket by the nightstand. Rayner lit a cigarette and took a long drag.
It is a fucking mystery to me why I put myself through this shit.
Same reason as me, love. You love screwing someone who can't stand you. So, where's the,
My purse. You have to sign for it, so get the paperwork.
Butcher got up and crossed the room, and after a quick search, removed a small black case from Rayner's purse, tossed the purse to Rayner, and the small tech case to the bed.
Butcher? Jesus Christ, do you know how much that cost?
Butcher crossed back to the bed, sat down, and picked up the case.
Well, if I don't, who does?
Butcher opened the case to reveal a compact jet injector and a vial of blue fluid.
Oh, yes. This will do nicely.
It better. Even getting that much took a couple of forests worth of paperwork. Here.
Rayner handed Butcher some papers on top of a file folder and a pen. Butcher took them with a sly smile.
Can't do the job without it, love. All right. Received from blah, blah.
Butcher handed the pages and pen back to Rayner. His smile had turned to a sneer.
Right. Well, I've given myself the night off, round two?
Rayner stared daggers at Butcher.
What? You think you're staying?
I think you came all the way from DC in person, and it wasn't just to hand-deliver the gear.
A few doors down and just around the corner from the Teenage Kicks headquarters, Butcher walked up behind a dark, unmarked van carrying two to-go hot cups stacked one atop the other.
Beauty, me China player. What's the score?
Butcher sat along the van's opposite interior wall and handed the top cup to Huey, who swung around, taking off headphones and setting them down to the side of the console.
Oh, cheers. Nothing new since yesterday.
Huey accepted the cup and handed an envelope to Butcher.
Oh, here's all the film we have so far. And there is shots from outside their place here that MM took, as well as stills from the cameras Frenchie installed.
Butcher opened the envelope and began flipping through the pictures. The first were a set of Big Game and Jet Streak at a movie premiere with a blonde starlet. First outside the venue, smiling for the paparazzi, and then inside the theater where the starlet had her hands down the pants of both superheroes. Next were a series of shots of Whackjob doing electrical tricks for sick children in a hospital while Blarneycock was stealing medication from the dispensary nearby. Then pictures of Big Game and Shoutout having sex, followed by pictures of Dognot performing fellatio on Big Game. The last were a few stills of Popclaw removing her forearm sleeves to reveal cuts to her forearms, and of using her claws to self-mutilate and then cover it up. A dark smile was born across Butcher's face.
Oh, lovely. What else?
Well, been trying to work out if Shoutout knows Big Game shagging Dognot as well as him. But like I said, nothing since yesterday.
Enjoying yourself?
Huey smiled.
I have to admit, there's a sort of horrible fascination to it. The wee bastards are into stuff I never knew was possible. Bloody nice place they've got, too. Had a wee look around while Frenchie was putting the cameras and bugs in.
Modeling contracts pays for most of it.
Butcher replaced the pictures in the envelope and placed it on a shelf to his right.
Gear working okay?
Butcher reached into the inside left of his black overcoat as Huey glanced back at the illuminated technology and sipped his tea.
Oh, aye. No bother at all. It's piss easy once you know what you're doing.
Sounds like you're a natural. Yeah, lean here for a minute, will you?
Huey set the tea down and sat up and leaned toward Butcher.
What?
In one motion, Butcher grabbed the back of Huey's neck with his left hand and held him close as his right came up holding a jet injector with the vial of blue liquid attached at the top. Huey's eyes went wide as the gun went to the right side of his neck.
Fuck! Christ! What is that?
It's Compound V. Hold still a second. Right. There you go.
Butcher leaned back and then put his back against the van.
What the fuck did you do that for?
Boost your system. So you're tough enough to go up against the suits?
Jesus Christ! Is it fucking permanent?
It is in its pure form, yeah. But most of the stuff out there is cut. Effects only last for a couple of days. The slags at the ore house, that's what they were in. Helped them stand the pace and that.
Huey's face went from shock to horror.
What are the side effects?
Well, it turns your shit blue a few days. That's it.
I can't fucking believe you did that!
We've all taken it, mate. Can't operate without it. Because otherwise, you get in a barney with one of these cunts, and he punches you in the face, he's going to take your old head off.
Butcher unscrewed the vial from the jet injector and held it up, the lights of the surveillance equipment making the fluid glow.
You see, this is why the soups are soups. Some Jerry came up with it in the 30s, started trials on people. It alters DNA, so you can inherit it, or sometimes it just shows up in a food chain. Now and again, some arsehole gets his hands on some of the pure stuff.
Butcher put the jet injector and the vial back in his overcoat and picked up his tea.
Look, all that dying bloke in a spaceship gave me powers. Nuke tests made me into a monster bollocks. That's all it is, really. Bollocks.
Wait a minute. Alters DNA. What the fuck is going to happen to me?
You'll be about 15 or 20 times stronger. Should take about a day to kick in.
You didn't fucking ask?
Huey. You're gonna need it.
Huey started to get up and stumble out of the back of the van.
Shit! Fuck off! I never said I was gonna join your gang of head the balls! I never fucking said!
Huey stepped to the back door of the van.
Oh, come on, mate. It's been over a week since you got...
And that was to help me make up my mind, was it?
If I'd have told you up front, you'd want to think it over for who knows how long. What happens if the kicks twig what we're up to while you're still humming and eye?
Huey opened the back of the van and stepped out with Butcher following. Huey spun around.
So what? It was for my own fucking good?
It's because this is where you belong, Huey. Where you can do something about those fucking tossers.
Fuck off! And don't you dare bring up Robin. Don't you fucking dare! You put that blue shite in me, you bastard! You turned me into a fucking freak, and you never give me a choice!
Huey turned to walk away.
Where are you going?
Home.
Yeah, all right, mate. Sleep on it.
Huey spun around, furious.
Home to fucking Glasgow!
Kelly!
Huey had returned to the seedy accommodations at the Dunbriar and began thrusting clothes into his travel duffel. He reached for the nightstand and picked up his Scottish passport and the new American one Butcher had given him. He stared at them. He held the two parts of his life, his old one that was gone and the current one with all of its uncertainty.
Fuck.
Huey sat down on the bed and lowered his head. Huey lifted his eyes to look over and see a whitish fluid with flecks of red slowly seeping in from the hallway under his door.
What? Ah, fucking no!
A few days later, his travel duffel slung on his shoulder, Huey was plodding through Central Park, his eyes down when he decided to rest. He came to a long bench and seeing a young blonde woman sitting with her head down. He looked about and seeing no other bench nearby, looked back to the young, beautiful woman.
Excuse me, do you mind if I sit down here?
The young woman looked up and then at the bench before she gave a distracted shake of her head.
No.
Huey unslung his bag and placed it between them on the bench and then sat as the young woman lowered her gaze again. For a few minutes, Huey just stared ahead, lost and weary. Then the young woman looked up and over at Huey.
You have an unusual accent. Are you English?
Huey looked up and back at the young woman.
Hmm? Oh, no. I'm Scottish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You've nothing to be sorry about.
Oh, I thought that was some kind of sore point, you know, between the English and the Scottish.
Oh, not really. Only real head-the-balls worry about that sort of thing.
The young woman gave a slight smirk.
Head the balls.
The two sat in silence for a few moments till a slight breeze made its way through the higher canopy above them. The blonde woman lifted her eyes and then turned again to Huey.
Are you on vacation?
No. I suppose you could say I'm over here about a job. Only I don't know if I'm going to take it.
Not your kind of thing?
No. Actually, I think I might enjoy it quite a lot. It's just some of the people are, And also, I've got nothing else to go back to. But if I did take the job, I'd want to be sure that wasn't the only reason I was doing it. Know what I mean?
Kind of.
The woman's face fell, and she slumped the slightest bit on the bench.
Why?
I did some things to get a thing I really wanted. I know I'm not happy about what I did, and I'm really not sure about what I've got, but I don't know that I want to just give up and go home, you know? I can't decide if it's worth staying to find out whether or not it was all worth it.
Huey smiled and offered a shrug.
You did the penance, so you might as well give the sin a try, eh?
I suppose that's one way of putting it.
Huey nodded and then looked across the lake near Bow Bridge.
Oh, would you look at this place? I'm telling you, if I do stay, it'll be because of this city. Places like this, like Central Park and all. Do you know, I was reading a lot of this place is actually artificial. All these wee streams and so on. There's all these wee taps hidden around the place, so the parakeet can turn them on and off.
The young woman looked at Huey and smiled.
What's your name?
Oh, it's Huey.
Hi, Huey. I'm Annie.
Pleased to meet you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I ought to get going.
Annie rose and looked off, and then back to Huey.
It's been nice talking to you, Huey.
Huey rose as well.
Hey, I've got to get going myself. Maybe I'll see you back here sometime, eh?
Maybe. Are you going to come back and look for the wee taps?
Hey, so I can turn the wee streams on and off. You could be the lookout for the parakeets.
Well, bye.
Right then.
With an exchange of slightly awkward waves, they each turned and began walking away from each other. After a few strides, Annie stopped and turned to see Huey continuing down the path. She then leapt and soared off into the sky. Many blocks down on the Isle of Manhattan, a live listening session was well in hand at the Flatiron Building. Butcher, Frenchie, and Mother's Milk sat about the speakers from the surveillance station in the office, while the female sat on the floor, rubbing Terror's belly.
What are you looking at? Hello? Have you all been struck dumb or something? What are you looking at? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. Big game, you motherfucker. How long has this piece of shit been sucking your dick?
Fuck you, Denzel.
What'd you just say to me? Explain just what that means, dog knot.
Shout out, wait a minute.
I want to know what he means.
Jetstreak's
by...
right, shout out. I mean, look at this.
Oh,
this is...
well, Jetstreak's got to be right, hasn't he? After all, here's one of you and your buddy Jetstreak getting a double hand job off that skank actress.
Jesus Christ, who the fuck said these?
That's not the point.
That's exactly the fucking point.
You slut. Big game, you a two-faced and lying backstabbing faggot cocksucker.
Shout out, knock it off. We can talk about this, okay?
Bullshit.
Oh, don't sulk.
I'm glad you boys think we can talk this over. But how about this one? You think we can talk about that?
Jesus. Blarney cock, whack job, get in here.
Huh?
I can't believe you two assholes. Why? What? Oh, holy fuck. Is this where you got all that shit? From that appearance you made at St. Jude's?
But how? Where did... How did
right these... Now, who gives a fuck? You stole painkillers from a children's hospital.
On what was supposed to be a PR opportunity. I told you we shouldn't have let this mick on the goddamn team.
Eh, I wonder what you are and fuck yourself, you fucking coon, yeah.
Say that again, I fucking dare you. Say it again.
No, wait. Here comes the bad news.
Will you two just shut up for a second? Oh, Jesus, look at this. Someone gets thrown to the wolves. I decide tomorrow, or you decide today.
What the hell does that mean? It means, Dick Wipe, that they're going to expose one of us to the media. If we don't choose who gets fucked, they will.
Oh, fuck me. Popclaw. It ought to be Popclaw.
Why the fuck?
Hello?
Cutting yourself, that's nothing. I mean, it's embarrassing, but publicly, it's survivable.
Why don't you eat
You're
my
forgetting
ass?
All this nice wide-angle stuff here of judging the rug-munching competition.
Huey, mate. Turn it down a bit, will you, Frenchie?
Wait. Fuck you, gunpowder.
Huey stepped up to and squatted down to Terror, who had shuffled over and began rubbing the dog's neck.
Hello there, everyone.
Petit Huey! Formidable!
Just thought I'd come on back, you know?
Why? You been somewhere?
Gave the boy the weekend off, didn't I? You all right, Huey? You see a bit of the city then?
Hey, it did, hey. It's really brilliant.
Ow!
Huey canted his head toward the speakers.
Sounds like everything's coming together nicely.
Oh, it is, mate. Thanks in no small part to all the hard work you put in. You had lunch yet?
Huey stood, releasing Terror.
No.
Best burger in the city is right out our front door. Come on.
You bitch! You almost took my eye out!
Okay, everyone calm down.
Keep your hands to yourself, homeboy.
Butcher gestured to the door for Huey and then looked to the rest of the boys.
Back in an hour or so, right? Give me a shout when they decide on a sacrificial lamb.
Butcher and Huey headed for the main area of the office.
Hey, Butcher.
Stop it. Stop it, all of you. Just shut the fuck up for a second.
Best burger in the city's the burger joint. Lobby of the Parker Meridian. Just thought you might want to know.
We gotta use our heads. Look what's happening to us here. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Who the fuck is doing this to us?
Butcher gave an up nod and headed out of the room with Huey close behind.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Nice one.
At a cafe table in Madison Square Park, Butcher and Huey sat eating overpriced gourmet burgers.
What'd you think?
Fucking magic.
I told ya. Look, Huey. I'm sorry, mate. I was a right arsehole. I thought I was doing you a favor, but All I did was freak you out and piss you off. I'm sorry.
Huey set down his burger and took a drink.
Hey, just don't do anything like that again, right?
Never.
Just tell me first.
Of course.
Huey stared down at his food.
Hey, look, I still haven't decided if I'm staying, right? I mean, I came back because I want to see the rest of it. All the soup stuff you were telling me about. But I'm sorry, I still haven't made up my mind.
That's all right, Huey. No more surprises, right? No more of that sort of shit. I'll show you the ropes. I'll tell you what you need to know. Then you can decide for yourself. Give me a minute here, will you?
Butcher retrieved a phone from inside his overcoat.
Hello? Yeah? Right, mate. Cheers.
Aboard Vought Aerial Base 1, a monitor that had come down from the ceiling played a live newscast.
If you are just joining us, this is a press conference where shout-out of the Teenage Kicks has come out as gay. This is a stunning development, as no previous superhero has publicly done this. We can only speculate how this may reflect on the rest of the superhero community.
I am a gay superhuman. I will be taking a hiatus from the Teenage Kicks, but I cannot stress enough how much their support has meant to me at this difficult.
Homelander muted the monitor with a remote as Queen Maeve took a long draw on a cigarette and stared at the screen.
Not hard to guess the hiatus.
Yep, black plus gay plus humble pie equals no one saying shit about this one.
The Homelander leaned back in his chair and looked to the other members of the Seven.
I take it we can all see what's really going on here.
Huh?
What?
Where's that little shit who makes the martinis?
Queen Maeve got up and walked out of the conference, smoke trailing off behind her.
I'm not talking about this half-assed snow job by Teenage Kicks. I'm talking about who's behind whatever it is that's happened to them. Because from where I'm sitting, it's got his name all over it.
Jack's eyes drifted from the monitor to Homelander.
No.
That was supposed to be over and done with.
No. No, I mean, after the Mallory thing, there's no way...
You thought he was just going to quit, did you?
What are you talking about?
What's he got to gain?
I'm sorry, I'm out of the loop here. Was this before my time?
Annie raised her hand halfway.
Excuse me?
I thought all that was over. That team got broken up.
Excuse me, everyone? Well, all I wanted to say was... Well, shouldn't we do something to show our support for Shoutout? I mean, you know, just to let him and the rest of the Teenage Kicks know we're thinking of them. I thought, maybe if we began with a prayer and we invited them to,
Homelander produced a black Sharpie as he rose from his seat.
Oh, yes, Starlight. That reminds me.
Homelander uncapped the marker as he walked over to Annie and gently turned her conference chair towards him.
Memo from Vought American. New costume concept for you. They want something a bit more photogenic.
Homelander leaned down and drew on Annie's chest to outline a cutaway, a new plunging neckline that went just above the belt at her waist.
More or less like this. Get the idea?
Homelander then straightened up, capped the marker, and tossed it to the conference table.
This is who we think it is. He is not going to go away. He's not going to give up. Shoutout was just his way of reminding us of that.
He then turned and started out of the conference room.
So fasten your seatbelts, because it's going to be a bitch of a ride.